Thank you for reminding us that we're followers of you. It's so easy to take our lives back into our own hands and say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. But Lord, you're our sovereign, and you must decide that. And so, Lord, we come to you to tell you again that we count it a great privilege to be disciples of yours. And we pray that we might truly follow you. Lord, tonight we think of Fred Curtis and the very serious operation that he's going to undergo tomorrow. We think of Anne and the kids. And we just pray that you would undertake for him. We pray that the operation will be a success. We pray that through the trauma of this experience, there might be a new love and a new realization of your person. For Jesus' sake, amen. Do you remember what the assignment was? We decided that we'd have one of those do-it-yourself sermons tonight, right? That I would sort of oversee the preaching of the word by the congregation. Oh, you didn't know it went that deep, did you? Okay, well, what was the assignment? Nobody remembers. You even got a bulletin. My wife remembers. What should Christians be doing for each other? All right. How many had at least the thought ran through their mind in the last 2 weeks? Oh, pretty good. Should be good tonight. All right. Who'd like to start? What should Christians be doing with each other? Now, there's a lot of bits and pieces, and I'm going to try to help you organize it, all right? So some of the things that you might think are arbitrary, but bear along with it as we try to organize our thoughts. Okay, how many had a chance to go through the whole book and make notes? Anybody? Okay, Joyce? Judy? And every other hand went down before I could see it. Okay, who'd like to share something? Well, some of the things reoccur. So, you know, what's something that gripped your heart when you went through it? What really gripped you? Okay, Pam. All right. Prayer is one of those recurring themes. How many times does it appear in the book of Ephesians? How many times? Anybody? Pam told you there's one in chapter 1, right? Any other reference to prayer? Chapter 3, any other reference to prayer? 6, I read it this morning, right? That was part of the text I read. Okay, let's think. Prayer, I'll give you a hint. I put prayer not as a major heading, but as a subheading, because there were some other things that fit under that major heading. What would be a major heading that would include prayer and some of the other things that are mentioned in the book of Ephesians? What is prayer? Well, I heard concern and I heard communication. Okay, it's that too. I put it down as communication. All right? So, one thing that Christians are to do is communicate. Too high. Okay. Pretty good. We're to communicate. Then let's put A, and certainly it is the first subpoint, with God. Okay, what would you add about that? You're to communicate with God for each other. Any question about that? Now, how many spend some time thinking about that theme in the Judy? Okay, what are some of your observations? Okay. He was praying that they would develop as Christians, right? Is that what you're saying? All right. I think you took another thread into what you were saying, right? That Christians not only communicate with God, but they should communicate with each other. And that communication with each other is encouragement. All right, so you have two. They are kind of close. And we do encourage each other by praying for them, but we also encourage each other by communicating with each other. Right, and that's very specifically mentioned in this epistle. Let's think about the prayer now. When I became aware of this prayer, I began to realize that so often here's something that I know is the will of God because it's in the Word. Here's something that I can pray with confidence, knowing it's the will of God. Here's something that I know will be answered because I'm praying according to the will of God. And so here's something that is very powerful. And then I made an observation that when I listened to other Christians pray, I didn't always hear them praying the way Paul prays. How about you? Have you heard these petitions frequently? What are the petitions? Pam, we'll go back to you since you brought it up. What are the petitions? Yeah, you can. You don't have to have it memorized. I had it memorized and I haven't reviewed, so I wouldn't want to be put on that spot. So that we'd know him better. Okay. What else?
He prays for that their eyes be enlightened so that they know what is the hope of his calling and what are they wishing God inheritance for us.
Okay. We were talking about that in the terms of lifestyle, the reality, what God, the way God thinks about things. I don't think the way God thinks about things. My perspective is too short. That's why I have to immerse myself in the Word. And Paul is praying that they might see things from God's point of view. And that seems to be part of the first petition. It seems to be part of this one. What else? Okay. That they would know his power. That they would know. Okay. Do you think that we should pray this way? What are the ramifications? What are the implications of this in prayer meeting? Tell me. Now I'm going to jump you from observation to an application. What are the implications of this prayer in prayer meeting? Anybody going to have a suggestion? Yes. We shouldn't be praying answers. We shouldn't be telling God what to do. Okay. This prayer is not doing that. Okay. I see that as an implication. I think what Judy is getting at and what I'm thinking about, and I think we're down the same track here, that is, so often in prayer meeting, we're praying we pray for unsaved people. We pray for health a lot of times. What else do we pray for? Yes. Right. 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 Yeah, this is a powerful thing. How many have read that My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers? That's sort of a classic Christian book. And it's just little excerpts where he shares some thoughts from the Word. And he talks about actually sinning with our prayers in one place. How we can actually sin in the way we pray. The kind of thing of saying, Lord, remove that person from these circumstances. When it might be, as Sally says, that God really wants to prove something to those people, that person in those circumstances. And that it is tough going. And that it's God's will. And we could be praying against God's will. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Imagine what would happen if we really prayed according to God's will. How powerful that would be. The first message that I heard up at Camp of the Woods on Sunday morning this year was a message on prayer from the prayer that Paul gives in Colossians. And it was a powerful message. And he talked about not praying for the unsaved because I think there's only one place in the New Testament where it's even hinted at that we should be praying for the unsaved, and that's for the people in authority, you know, that we might live a peaceable life. But he said, you know, when we pray and we focus on the problems, we're focusing on defeat. And what we should do is pray for the believer that God would use that believer, that God would have his way in that believer. And so it's very important in what we're doing for one another that we pray correctly. Now imagine what would happen if somebody came up and said, you know, brother, pray for me that I be removed from these circumstances. And the brother says, well, wait a minute now. Maybe that's not the best way to pray. You think we could have liberty to do that? Have you thought of some other possibilities? Have you considered what God's will in this situation would be? Instead of just being oriented to your comfort. That's what being a disciple means. Okay. Judy, you're working hard here. Keep going. But talk loud because the fan's going here.
I think sometimes the reason we pray for the problem is that we feel that perhaps praying for the person getting too personal. You know what I mean? Maybe pushing on the other person's...
Might be judgmental in some way. I don't know. I think there should be that freedom to say, I'm going to pray that God give you the power to live through this. And that you'd learn everything God wants you to learn while you're in here. What's something, you know, what Judy said, that Ephesians mentioned something else, that we're to be with each other, that would bring that, what Judy said, into balance and keep us from making any mistakes. What is it? Pete.
Patient.
Right? Patient. We're to be patient with each other. In that same paragraph, there's something else. What is it? Forbearing. That's King James. What American standard? What verse is that? 4:2. Okay, yeah. Pete mentioned the patience, which is in 4:2. What I was familiar with, be completely humble and gentle. So if you're going to share something with someone and be a prayer partner with someone, and you think that they're really looking for comfort rather than for God's will in their life, you must be patient, you must be humble, you must be gentle. Okay? Would that correct it? Would that keep you from falling into the difficulty that you see, Judy? I think it would. Okay, what else could we say about the prayer? When we communicate to God, Christians communicating to God for each other. That's the theme that we're working on. Yes.
One of the things that seemed to jump out at me from this chapter 1 is that one word is the word vision. Paul has had a vision of what he was like before he knew Christ. And now he's seeing what's happened in his life. And he's including almost the body of Christ in that Ephesus to see the same kind of vision that he's seen, to see the power of God in his life. I don't know, that seemed to jump out at me that He wants us to see the same kind of vision that we have of the glory of God.
And the prayer requests that he gives us are far greater than the things we usually pray about, aren't they? Aren't they? I think they are. Okay, anything else? Anyone else see anything that we want to add to prayer? Judy's the only one working. Okay, Judy. And there you have that thread running close again. What was the thread that you had close before that I said I tried to split off and show you that there was prayer and then there was communication, the encouragement. He starts out that way. You know, look at the beginning of, do you think that church was perfect in Ephesus? I don't. I don't know of any perfect churches. You know, the standard cliche is when you find a perfect church, don't join it. Because as soon as you do, it's not going to be perfect anymore. But look at the way he addresses them. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus, Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He comes with a very positive, now that's the communication with each other. Anything else? How about communication just in general? We said Christians need to communicate about each other, for each other, to God. They must communicate with each other. All right? What else do you have there? You have anything else there? Communicating with each other? Yes.
Yeah, verse 4, 25.
Okay, the manner in which you communicate to each other. Okay, the way you speak. There's a lot about the way you speak. How you speak to each other is very important in your relationship with your brother Christian. Joe's bringing that out. The manner in which we speak with each other. Are there any other things that come to mind? I noted that. About how we speak. Let me see if I can find it on my paper. Okay, speak. There's another one. What was the one about lying that you had, Joe? Put off all falsehood. Okay, that's 425. Then you have him come back in 429. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. And then there's another one, speaking the truth in love. You see the corrective? Being a disciple calls upon you to do some things that are difficult at times. And it might call on you to say some things that are difficult to say. The corrective is, speak the truth in love. And so you notice that as we go through these things, there's a beautiful balance. There's a lot of things about speaking. In 5:4, speak to build each other up, not to tear each other down. but to build each other up. Certainly that's what Paul is talking about when he says saints. He's building them up. Look at what your standing is before God. Look at the way God looks at you. The faithful in Christ Jesus. It's beautiful the way he does that. He doesn't tear them down. He's not critical with them and tearing them apart. But he realizes that that might have to come in. But he says, when you speak the truth, speak it in love. Okay, we have to communicate with each other. Anybody else see anything on that, communicating with each other? Yeah, Volga. Forgiving one another. Yeah. That's a very real part of this. You know, being a member of a church causes, you know, it's sort of like sandpaper sometimes. There's a rub. That's one of the costs of the blessing of being in a church, that there's a rub. And sometimes, you know, that rub gets kind of, you know, starts to cause sensitivity. There's that rub. Has somebody come close to you and rubbed all the skin off? Did you hear what Volker said? What are we supposed to do for each other? We're to forgive each other. On what basis? Nobody has a big voice today. Either that or the fan's too loud, I can't hear you. Somebody said something over here. On what basis do you forgive each other? June. Right, because you're forgiven. How could you ever forget that you're forgiven? How could you ever keep a grudge? How could you read those things in the New Testament that Jesus said without forgiving one another? And does a person have to ask you to be forgiven? Can't you just chalk it up? Like Paul, when he wrote to Philemon about Onesimus, the runaway slave. Do you remember the word, the phrase that he used? It's such a beautiful phrase. And it's just the thing that Jesus did for us. And he's asking Philemon to do that. He's not asking that servant to grovel now back to him. He is sending him back to his master. But what does Paul say? Does anybody know what that phrase is that he uses? Judy knows. Judy says, try somebody else. Who knows the phrase? Yeah, charge that to my account. Charge that to my account. Isn't that beautiful? Wouldn't it be great if every time somebody wronged you, you didn't have to go and get them to say forgive, ask for forgiveness and all of that, and bitterness and holding a grudge and all that. You know, just charge it to my account. Fine. Good exercise in understanding what Christ did for you. Amen? You're not very enthusiastic tonight. What other kind of... Well, there's another communication. Do you see it there? With Christian and Christian. And I hope that John and I are able to do this for you on Wednesday night. We're communicating. We don't want anyone to think that we're anything's hidden. You know, it's there. If you ask a proper question, we'll answer it. You see this in the book, in a sense. Where is it there in Ephesians? Did you see it? Christians communicating with each other. Whenever somebody comes to me and says, so-and-so said something, I always say, go and talk to that person. And most of the time they do. And usually it's ironed out. And if I say something, you know, I appreciate you coming to me. Some people have. And it's had its effect. I listen. Christians communicating with each other. What is it? Didn't you see it? In 6:21, Tychius, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Christians need to communicate with each other and share with each other. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. And so you can see the communication there. So Christians ought to communicate with God, with each other. And it doesn't look like color, does it? And what's third? Do you see anything else? There's some subject matter here, yeah.
Well, in chapter 5, verse 6 on, it says that we should not be.
Okay. That's the negative side of it, right? On how we should communicate with each other, right? Let's review that. Chapter 5, verse 4. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Okay. Jim, were you going to add something?
I seem to get the overall idea of chapter 5 was find out what God wants you to do. Now, what he feels is right and what he feels is wrong to do. And then you're at it. You're out of the step.
Can anybody, everybody hear Jim? Well, can you or can't you? No. Okay, Jim, you got to stand up and talk louder.
What,
why don't you stand up?
What I felt was that God wanted you to search his scripture and find out what he thought was right, what he thought was wrong, and to do it, clean up your act, and find something that's a bad spot in life. So, there's something that's going to work out. But that was my idea.
Okay, I'll show you where, because the night is getting late. I'll show you how I outlined it. We're to communicate, right?
Focus.
Can you see that? Okay. We're to serve each other.
Try to focus again.
We're to serve each other. And then the one that Jim is talking about here. Where he talks about searching the scripture to find out what's there and then do it. And the way I phrase that, and there's a lot there, there's a lot in that category. And how does that fit in with, I can look at this in two ways. I can look at this as individually, and that's the way Christians tend to look at it. But that, what Jim is talking about, has an effect on everybody in the church body. Right? For me, for you, to search God's word and to do it. Now, what are we doing for each other when we do that? You're setting an example? Okay. I phrased it this way. That's better than give evidence of the power of the gospel in your life. Isn't that important? Aren't we thrilled on Wednesday when somebody comes up and gives the evidence of the power of the gospel in their life? Aren't we thrilled when we don't, when the pastor doesn't have to yap about money? Because when the offering is taken, our needs are met. That's evidence of the power of the gospel in your life. And it's amazing how people in the community even know that. And how impressed the bankers were when we went to get a mortgage for this building. Give evidence of the power of the gospel in your life. Isn't that what he's talking about when he says, take the whole armor of God? What happens if one of us doesn't take the whole armor of God this week? And we falter and we fail and we stumble and we're not where we're supposed to be and we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We all hurt, don't we? We need to do that. We need to embrace that. Paul talks about the evidence of the power of the gospel in your life. Let's take one thing. I was going to ask you a hypothetical question tonight. What would happen if, in accord with the command of the Word of God, every man, every husband in the congregation loved his wife as God wants him to love her? What would happen? I didn't hear that. Nero, was that you? I'd run out of what?
There'd be a run on jewelry.
There'd be a run on jewelry. Is that what Don does? Oh, but wouldn't that be tremendous? I'm not saying you don't love your wives. I'm saying, do you really love them as Christ loved the church and was sacrificial, sacrificed himself for the church? The evidence of the power of the gospel in our life, that everyone who has a job doesn't become a clock watcher, but works like he's working for the Lord. That's what's in that book, isn't it? Are we doing that for one another? And demonstrating the power of the gospel in our life? You remember how we rejoiced when John Huff came to the prayer meeting and told us how God had transformed his attitude towards his job? Boy, that was a big moment for me. Was it a big moment for you? Did it encourage you? Isn't it really something when we evidence the power of the gospel with each other? Doesn't it sort of spur us to believe more and to work harder? How many of you are going to go home and look at this again? This passage, this book, and really think about it. Think about it in these three headings. To communicate, to serve, and to give. Think of that. Not only think about it, but list, ask God when he burns your heart with something, ask God for something specific you can do for a specific individual. Ask God for something specific. Maybe it's to come and share in prayer meeting about something. Maybe it's to go and talk to somebody about something. Maybe it's to revamp my prayer life so that I'm praying according to the will of God. What a thrill it is to be part of a church. There's nothing like it. We're the saints of God. We're the faithful in Christ Jesus. We're the loved. We're the love objects of Almighty God in Christ. What a privilege it is to be together. And what great things God wants to do through each part of us. As he builds us, each one of us, a stone into that great tabernacle. Did you have your hand up? No. Anybody have a last word? Let's stand and be dismissed.
Lord, thank you for some of the things that we've seen here in this very small book about what it means to live together as your people. Lord, there are so many precious truths. Lord, about communicating, the way we should communicate, the things we should forget about, the things that we should stress, the way we should use our mouths, the way we should speak the truth in love. Our God, we just praise you for your word to us tonight and for making us your body. We just pray that you'd give us something specific to do this week and that we might find great joy in obeying you. Now, as we go on our way, we pray that you would dismiss us with your grace and your mercy. We pray that we might face this week
with the knowledge of your truth. We pray that we might put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand in the spiritual battle. We pray that we might have great joy in communicating with each other about Jesus Christ our Lord. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.
This is taken from John 21:14-19. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others? Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I do. Feed my lambs. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know my heart as well as you know everything, and you know that I do. Then feed my lambs. When you were young, you were able to do as you pleased and go wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will take you where you do not wish to go. Follow me."
Follow you, I will follow you, dear Lord. Follow you, I will follow you. Wherever you may lead, I'll go. Got rough, I left your side, but now something different seems to be within me. You have given me life. Now I see my Lord, that you'll take care and guide. I trust you, and I will follow where you lead me. Just take my life. Follow you, I will follow you.